The One in Pirate's Cove. Written by A Friendly Hunter 2. Narrated by Otis Gyre. Chapter 1. Getting to Work. Day 1. Freddy Fazbear's, huh? I say, as I see the big help wanted sign posted on the front door. It was a pizzeria that was pretty popular in this small town, and its animatronic characters were loved deeply by all the children that went there every day. In fact, I used to come here all the time when my father used to work here as an evening security guard. I would sit in Pirate's Cove and listen to the animatrons in there for hours. I learned his skit by heart. I loved it so much back then. But now, I don't know if it would have the same effect. Yeah, what the hell. The pay's terrible, but at least it's something, I say as I walk inside, hearing a bell ring as the door opens and closes softly. I could instantly hear the band singing their nostalgic songs like Freddy's Fun Times and the famous Bonnie's Birthday Bash song. Then they would begin talking to themselves and the audience casually about safety matters and to keep eating our pizza or you'll hurt Chica's feelings. An attendant comes up to me, and I tell her I'm here to apply for the night shift job as the night guard. She calls the owner, who prefers being the one to get employees acquainted, and she says he'll be here soon. I thank her and decide to look around to see what's changed. Quite immediately, I could tell this was the same old restaurant that I used to love as a kid, until, well, I went excitedly into Pirate's Cove. Out of order. That sucks, I say as I look at the small stage curtain concealing the animatronic inside. These kids are missing out, I say as I look at the reservation board to see how long this has been out of order. Since 1987? That's when I was 4. This has been out of order for 16 years, I say, outraged. My favorite animatron has been broken and forgotten behind that curtain for 16 years, and no attempt has been made to fix it. That's ridiculous, I say. Indeed it is, I hear someone say from behind me. It was the owner. I remember you. You're Tyler, right? Your dad used to work here before he changed jobs. I nod. Yep, I'm here to accept the job of night guard duty. Well, the job's yours. If I had known it was you, I wouldn't have even bothered showing up. You know how the security systems work. They haven't changed since your dad worked here, whether that's for better or for worse. And I know you're very good with kids. You babysat my daughter just a few nights ago. Wow, thanks, I say, before looking toward Pirate Cove. Hey, I'm pretty good with robots and stuff, I begin. Could I maybe repair this animatron? The owner smiles. Maybe you sh... He pauses for a moment, his smile fading. Actually, only repair the stage brats, not this one. Why? I ask. Safety precaution. He can electrocute you, he states firmly. I can do this professionally. I won't get shocked, I say. Besides, after 16 years, I say this guy needs to be revived, right? The owner ponders for a few moments, then shrugs and agrees. Yeah, it might do him some good. He leaves me to my own devices and leaves the pizzeria altogether. I say my goodbyes and head back into the cove, staring at the curtain. I flip a switch, and the curtain slowly opens, revealing the animatronic figure inside. His show begins to start, and I'm already ready to say the lines I've memorized by heart. Greetin', landlubbers, and welcome to the pirate it's called Cove. I cringe at the audio skips. His broken jaw was messing with the syncing on the audio file. I power him down and go into the backstage area to get some tools. After getting promptly freaked out by the heads inside, I quickly leave the backstage and return to the cove with the tools and some red cloth and a few of Foxy's spare limbs I found down in the basement. I quickly got to work repairing Foxy's jaw, wanting to fix his audio skip error and hoping I could do it right. I replaced the broken bolt and his mouth hinges nicely. I tighten it a bit and make sure it's nice and snug. I raise and lower his jaw a few times to listen for squeaks. Oh, there are loads. So I add some oil until it stops. With his jaw finished, I quickly tighten up his droopy eyelid, but it was still visibly crooked. Instead of worrying about this, I settled for the fact that it was incredibly minor. I sew up all the holes in his chest and replace his claw with a brand new and shiny one. I fix his eye patch control and begin sewing up his pants, but the day was over. It was time for work. I say goodbye to everyone as they leave, and I stay behind to help the janitor clean a bit. An hour before the janitor leaves, I listen to the entire Pirate Cove skit, and I feel as happy as I did so many years ago watching it. I cleaned some of what seemed like pizza stains off of Foxy, and then said farewell to the janitor. Time for lights out. Night one. I turn the power off to everywhere except the security room, sit down, and watch the cameras. I see four pre-recorded messages on the phone, and I decide to listen to one of them. The man on there talks about safety, regulations, and about how the animatronics move around. After that, it starts to escalate pretty quickly. Something about animatronic free roam and the Bite of 87. Then he said something that made me understand why people didn't want this job. If the animatronics found me, they would kill me. My heart drops. Once the message ends, I check the cameras, and I see that Barney had moved off the stage and onto the dining room floor. I jump as I suddenly see him. He looked much creepier in the darkness. I look at the Pirate Cove map, and I almost scream. Foxy was staring at the camera through a small opening in the curtains at me. My alarm goes off. It was 6 a.m. I look at the cameras, and I see that everyone was back in their original spots, including Barney. This free-roaming thing was no joke. As I leave, I can hear faint rustling coming from Pirate's Cove and then silence. I began walking faster as I walked straight out the front door and greet the morning watchman. He was incredibly surprised to see me, and so was the janitor. What was I getting myself into? Day two. I honestly didn't want to come back. I thought about it for a long time. I could have just said that I wasn't interested in a job, that I wanted to do something better with my time for more pay. But I didn't. I came back. And as I walked through the door, all I could remember was how Barney and Foxy had actually moved by themselves. Nevertheless, I made a promise to fix Foxy, so I was going to do it. I enter the Pirate's Cove and see the curtain drawn back fully. No evidence whatsoever that Foxy was peering through it. As I open it, he's in a far corner, the same one he is always in. Some of the tools I used yesterday that I forgot were even still in the same place. I'm fixing my potential killer. Just my luck, I say as I begin trying to touch him up again. I replace his hand, but his replacement doesn't fit properly, so I had to put on one without the suit around it again. His legs had no replacement, so I'd need to order them. Troubling, since they didn't make them anymore. It would be hard finding the parts to completely repair them. Having any luck, a female says from behind me. It was the greeter from the front door, presumably on a break. This guy's beat up bad, and his spare parts don't even fit him, I say softly. Oh, those are from the new model. They made him slightly smaller, she says. I can tell. They aren't even close to fitting him, I say as I grunt in frustration, as I get his artificial limb back into its metal socket. I throw his spare hand to the side. She watches me work for a while, fixing the hinges, mending the welds, replacing the circuitry, She seems impressed. "What'd you learn to do that?" she asks. "I taught myself," I said. "I loved this place so much when I was little I decided to build animatronics for a living. Even this old stuff from the 80s is pretty simple to fix. It's just bulkier." "Did you come here a lot when you were little?" she asks. "Every day. My father worked here," I smile as I remember the memories. "But it wasn't the place that kept me from coming back. It was the Pirate's Cove." I look up at Foxy. "I came because I thought Foxy was the best one, and his simulated voice is great. It sounds just like a pirate." "Oh, so that's why you wanted to fix him up so badly," she says, finally figuring it out. "That's sweet." I blush. A grown man can still like animatronics, no matter how creepy they look when you are older. I pause for a moment. "Except Foxy. He still looks really cool. Honestly, the damage makes him look cooler." I laugh. "It does, doesn't it?" she says, smiling before standing up. "Anyways, I need to get back on my shift. Nice talking to you." "You too," I say, before trailing off and getting lost in the process of the repairs. I swear, if you kill me after all this work I've done, I'm going to be very, very mad. I turn to pick up a tool, and I hear Foxy's hand move. I quickly look up at him, and his hand is resting on my shoulder. I look up at him. "You aren't even on." I jump back as his neck joint snaps, causing his head to fall and look directly at me. "Shit!" I fall backwards. "What am I even doing here? I should just..." I get up and look towards the door, and then back at Foxy's. I look down and grip my head. "What am I doing?" I say loudly. I look up and sigh and walk behind Foxy to inspect the damage. "Wow, that's why it broke. It was so rusty and decayed." I chuckle weakly. "Probably just coincidence." I replace the joint. I have to take off his head momentarily to get it back onto place. "Yeah, I can see how getting stuffed into one of these will kill you," I say, remembering the message from last night. I wipe some of the oil from his joints on my jeans and begin putting away the tools. I sigh shakily. "Time to get to work," I say as I close the curtain to Pirate's Cove. Chapter 2. Foxy Awakens. Night 2. I sit in my security room, not wanting the janitor to leave, not wanting to have to turn off the power, but I had to. I wish the janitor a pleasant night, and then head to the security office. I listen to the next message on the recorder. "So, you made it tonight, too?" I stopped listening as I checked the cameras. Chica was gone. I go to the dining room cam and find her staring at the camera off in the distance. "Oh, my God," I say as I jump. I check the other cameras to make sure nothing is wrong. Foxy was staring at me from behind the curtain again. "Make sure you keep an eye on Pirate's Cove. The animatronics seem to be unique, as in he seems to only attack if you don't watch him from the cameras from time to time. Luckily, he's broken, so you can hear him coming if he does. Shit, I fixed his squeaking leg joints today." I keep the cameras on him for a few seconds, but then I quickly begin to look for where Chica went. I see that Bonnie has wandered into the backstage area, and I jump when I see him right in front of the camera, staring into it with dead black eyes. The call ends, and I lower my camera screen and look to my right and see Chica staring at me from behind the window. "Oh, my God!" I yell as I hit the door control, closing it. Never have the words "Let's eat" been more terrifying in my entire life than that singular moment. I flashed the lights to see if it was still there. It was. I ignore it. I begin searching frantically for Bonnie. I couldn't find him anywhere. Where is he? Where is he? Where the hell is he? I find him in the room just a few steps away from my door. I begin to panic. I turn to Chica, still in front of the window, and yell, "Leave!" I can hear the heavily distorted laugh of Freddy Fazbear.